Welcome to a brand new episode of the Weekly Regular in 2023. I'm here joined by my co-host. Now officially, it's all official and whatnot. Back like he never left. Give it up. Welcome to back to the show, joining me this week, as in every week, Derek Nickel. What's up, Derek?
What's up, dude?
How's it going?
It's pretty good. How's your new year treating you?
It's good so far. There's a torrential downpour in LA right now.
I was
going
to say, we talked before recording. You've got some water coming into your house, huh?
Yeah, there's a light fixture in my kitchen that is full of water right now.
That seems to be connected to the outside.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's coming from the outside. It is raining super hard in LA, and it is crazy. I've never seen this many consecutive days of such heavy rain in Southern California before. This is pretty nuts. Other than that, though, my new year was good. I spent it working. I was DJing, which was fun, fine, and I was cool with that. New Year's was good. Just getting into the swing of things. Just trying to get into the swing of things for the new year. I can't complain. How was your new year?
It was good. Super low key, you know. Okay. Easy. The weather's been kind of cloudy and rainy since then, so I've just been watching a lot of movies and TV.
Yeah.
Playing a lot of video games, you know, the same old.
What games are you playing right now?
I'm just going back through God of War.
Okay. Yeah, I started with the 2018 one recently.
Yeah, that's what I'm going back through right now. Mm-hmm. I'm almost done. I just needed a placeholder because, you know, money's a little on the tighter side, so I can't spend it on the AAA titles that I would like to. Mm-hmm. So I've been playing old games and just kind of playing some free ones on PlayStation and all that kind of stuff. And then eventually I'll get Ragnarok and then I'll be a happy boy.
Yeah, if you need a game that will fill your time and is cheap, there's a game called Ancestors: The Humankind Odyssey.
Okay.
And it's a game I've been wanting to play for a while. I saw the trailer like years ago, like when they were doing like beta testing and stuff. But mm-hmm. the game is out now. It's only like $10. I believe it's on all consoles. I bought it on Xbox, but I think it's available on everything. It's a game where basically I believe it's made by a French development team, and it's a game where you start off as a band of chimp-like primates in Africa 10 million years ago,
mm-hmm.
and basically it's a survival strategy kind of game where you're trying to grow and evolve your clan into ultimately a human-like species, but the game is like meant to take a long, long, long time. So, like, you are doing the basics, the very, very, very basics of survival at first. Like, you start off the game like you're like a small chimp, and your parent chimp is killed by some giant bird, and you kind of have to make your way back to your settlement. And once you get to your settlement, then you kind of like learn how to interact with the different chimps. And like you have to eat, and you have to make sure everybody eats and drinks water. And
oh, see, that sounds too tedious for me. I don't like to have to take care of the basic needs of NPCs.
Oh, I mean, the system works where like if you do it, they all do it.
Oh, okay.
So like, yeah, that's kind of how it works. Yeah, it's not that tedious. It's pretty tedious, okay. But it's not that tedious. and I think it's good because the tedium, I think that's a word, tedium of the game is offset by I think there's a lot of discovery, like a lot of interesting things to discover, and as you eat and discover things and like have babies and like because you can form relationships and like have babies and stuff like that, there's a really cool mechanic where the more children that you have in your settlement, like the more neuron energy you have, and as the neuron energy grows, that's how you like learn to do new things and like learn new skills, and like it's interesting, it's cool, and there's different like plot things that happen in the game to kind of keep it interesting. Like there's one of the first big major events is like a meteor strike happens, and you have to go investigate the meteor, and I don't want to spoil anything about that, but it's great. Like it's a game where like
you investigate the meteor and you find alien technology, and that really ups your clan's game with your laser rifles that you have now after you've domesticated dinosaurs.
Exactly, and then it just becomes a it becomes Halo after that.
Yeah, no, perfect. great. Okay, I can get behind that.
Yeah. No, it's really good, man. I think you would enjoy the game. It's it is tedious at first, but there's not much of a learning curve because you're kind of picking up the skills as they go. So like the tutorial tutorialize nature of the game like really helps out a lot. There is a mode that you can put on called immersive where like there's no HUD and no tutorial, and you just have to figure shit out. And I was like, this is insane. Who would ever pick this mode?
Look, I like to play video games to relax. I don't hate myself.
Yeah.
It's like those it's like the people that like really are into Dark Souls.
Yeah.
Like those really hard dungeon runner games like Elden Ring and all that, where people are like, you don't understand. The pain and the frustration is part of it. And I'm like, no, it's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't care.
I don't think anyone ever made a game that was like, I want to piss people off with this game.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, the game's cool, man. And it will definitely occupy your time.
Okay.
Yeah, it's. I would say if you're at all interested in like the early development of man, it's a fun game to play. And yeah, you have to watch out for saber-toothed cats and giant pythons and all kinds.
Well,
of
my stuff. Laser rifle should take care of that. That should be no problem.
Yeah, the mech suit that you get from
the mech suit that you get from the meteor.
Yeah. No, it's a cool game, man. I think it's real cheap right now. It's like $10.
Okay. What's it called again?
Ancestors, the Humankind Odyssey.
Ancestors, the Humankind Odyssey. All right, well, I will have to check that out. Mm-hmm. If I'm in the mood for a grind, I'll...
Yeah, and you can kind of shape the evolution of your clan, because like the way your clan evolves is, as you have children, some of the children will be born with mutations that take your lineage in a different direction, and depending on which children survive and like... which children pass their genes on, that kind of like determines which direction your evolution goes.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually you'll have to pick up and move your settlement. It's very like they were very like thorough with like how they're going to build the game. So yeah, it's really interesting. I'm excited to like continue that. And if you do, there is a mechanic. If you get or not a mechanic, but an option. If you do get sick of where you are, there's like a jump ahead 10,000 years button.
Oh,
and you can do that if you do get sick of being a chimp or whatever stage you find yourself at.
Okay,
so yeah,
all right, nice. There's one that there's a game that I really really wanted to play, and unfortunately it's only on Steam.
Okay,
but it came out a couple of years ago, and I just found out about it recently, and it sounded fascinating. It's called This Land Is My Land.
This land is my land. Okay.
And you essentially play a Native American fighting the United States cavalry.
Oh, okay.
Because they try to take your land away. It's like Assassin's Creed meets like Native Americans. It sounded really cool.
Yeah, I'm super
into that. Unfortunately, it's only available on Steam. I keep hoping that they'll come out with it. I keep watching to see if they'll come out with it on console.
Mm-hmm.
But it's supposed to be pretty fun.
Well, that sounds awesome.
I know, right? What a great premise for a game. I'm like, just make that again and put it out, please.
Yeah, I would like that, please. Cool. Well, let's jump into some movie stuff, shall we?
Let's do it.
You watched any movies recently?
Let's see. I watched The Batman again for the 7th time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You still like it?
Still love it. Still my favorite Batman movie.
Good.
Let's see. So, watched The Batman. I watched Glass Onion, the new Knives Out movie.
Okay, and you enjoyed that?
I really enjoyed that one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very good. Really, I've been a fan of these lately, like Murder on the Orient Express or like Knives Out, these like old classic kind of whodunit kind of mysteries. Mm-hmm. With like, you know, the anything that ends up with the, you know, I'm sure you're wondering why I called you all here today, and then they just expound upon, you know, whatever it is that they're going to be doing. But
you like the villain of the film monologuing to a room full of nicely dressed people?
Or the hero of the film.
Yeah, or the hero of the film. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever, whoever. Yeah, just someone monologuing to a room full of nicely dressed people sounds great.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
They could just make that a movie, then great.
Yeah.
But no, it's really good. I've been really enjoying this kind of like resurgence of like the classic old school like detectives like capers. You know, it's been really fun to see, and everybody in Glass Onion does a really good job.
That's good. Yeah, I've heard good things about it, and the cast looks really cool, so I'm definitely going to watch that soon.
Oh, yeah, definitely watch it. It's really good. I highly recommend it. Dave Bautista does a great job in it.
Yeah, I'm seeing his face pop up in a few things, and I'm like, oh, man. He's doing some real good stuff.
He is. He's doing some crazy good stuff. I was rewatching What We Do in the Shadows the other day, and he has a cameo in the episode I was watching.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, oh yeah, dude, he's great.
Yeah, he's great. I think he's real good. I think he was in an interview. I read something that he was in an interview, and he said, because I'm sure because he used to be a pro wrestler, people ask him about The Rock all the time.
Oh, but I'm sure it gets annoying.
Yeah, I'm sure. And he gave a really cool response. He was like, I never wanted to be who The Rock is or what The Rock's doing. Like, I just want to be a really good actor. And I'm like, that's a pretty good response.
It's a solid response from a man that I respect.
Yeah, I think he's on his way to doing that. I've never seen I've yet to see a bad Dave Bautista performance.
Here's the thing. If there's a bad Dave Bautista performance, it's because he's in a project that doesn't really let him shine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and it's not a fault. It's never a fault of Dave Bautista's.
No,
he's always really good.
Yeah, I've yet to see one where I'm like, oh, they should have cast someone else for this.
Yeah, right.
the thing I like the most about him is like and this is where I think him and The Rock differ. Because The Rock's they obviously have different goals. Like The Rock wants to be Tom Cruise. You know what I mean?
Yeah, The Rock does want to be Tom Cruise with his own gym, with his own series of gyms.
Yeah. I like Dave Bautista because he doesn't, there's not this like overwhelming, like in his performances, he doesn't seem like he feels like he needs to be cool. Like he kind of just dives into whatever he's doing and just commits really hard.
Right.
And I respect that. And he's a talented actor on top of that. So like, I appreciate it.
I will say even the movie Stuber, which I watched, which wasn't his best performance, he was still giving it his all, which you have to respect, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's the Nicolas Cage conundrum. Like, is the man part of some of the lesser good movies that are out there? Yeah, but but I also think that Nicolas Cage is a phenomenal actor.
Yeah,
you know, because 100%. He gives 120% to everything he's doing all the time, and it's like you could say like not many actors can do that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. All right, let's see. Have I been watching anything?
Yeah.
I've been watching a lot of TV, if I'm being honest. I went back I went back and started Parks and Rec again, which I do annually, at least one time. Trying to think, what else have I been watching? I went back and watched the finale of The Foundation, which is a show on either Apple TV or Amazon.
Okay, is that the one, the space one that's kind of like The Expanse?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Yes, it's.
I may have done a massive disservice to the product. I'm not very familiar, so I'm not.
No, I would say they occupy similar spaces in the sort of the zeitgeist. I think they're like, they're like big sweeping kind of space dramas.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, this one is about the. This one focuses more on like. I would call this like space. Like space Downton Abbey or like something like that, because it's more about like that's probably even a disservice because
I'm just picturing a bunch of rich people in a ship being like, oh, how do you do?
I mean, it's kind of like that. Honestly, it's kind of like if you the way I would describe it is if you took Elysium and then pushed it to like a thousand years in the future. Because it is all about like, it's basically a world in which, you know, humanity has spread throughout the galaxy and, there's these different planets, but, all of the planets are ruled by an empire like this royal family basically. And the royal family are all clones of the same guy. At different ages.
This is the one you
like
were
that.
Telling me where it's got the three different versions of the one emperor at three different clone stages of his. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Got you.
It's that
which
show.
I thought sounded like a fascinating concept.
It is. It's very like Shakespearean in that way. I mean, characters are literally talking to themselves. You know what I mean? Like talking to other versions of themselves. And it's kind of all about like eventually you know, you're watching the show because eventually you want to see the downfall of this emperor because he's kind of ultimately a shitty dude and it's a bad system. But the main characters you follow are kind of like these characters that are all part of this, like, you know, it's a lot like Andor, but like with the world building, it's like the plot's very similar to Andor, but like with the world building of like level of it's all about the world building. Like it wouldn't surprise me if this was like a book series beforehand because it is very like
probably.
Like, the way they realize some of these planets is, like, really interesting. Like, there are people from planets where, like, it's all water. Like, so there's a lot of, like, history, like, built into it and a lot of world building. It's really interesting.
Cool.
It's a good show. The season 2 is coming out this year. And so I went back and rewatched the finale of the first season. And, yeah, it's good. The show's really good.
All right.
So that's what I've been watching. Nothing crazy new. Avatar 2, which we talked about. But yeah, not been doing a whole lot of movie watching, which I need to rectify in the new year. But all right, let's dive into some things. I guess we can start with some news stuff. You got any pieces of news ready to go?
Yeah, Tim Miller's going to direct the reshoots for Eli Roth's Borderlands film.
That's cool. Like,
Roth has not been fired. They're just bringing in Tim Miller to do the reshoots.
That makes sense. I mean, Tim Miller's an action director.
I was going to say, it makes me wonder if the action just wasn't up to par for what... Because it's based off of a video game that's an action video game. So you have to meet it at a certain level in order for it to be really... For the fans to really enjoy it.
Right.
So I'm sure that that's kind of what it was. I'm sure Roth handled like the really good like character development, you know? And then I'm sure it just wasn't up to par action-wise, so they brought Tim Miller in to take care of it. Mm-hmm. So that should be cool.
Yeah. Tim Miller's great. He's a guest on the Corridor Crew show, like the visual effects artist react show that they do. And he just, cause he is basically the showrunner of, Love, Death and Robots.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was on there just kind of talking about his philosophy of storytelling and all that kind of stuff. And he's really interesting. Like, as a guy who started out, in visual effects and stunts and all that kind of stuff, like, he still cares about story in like a really meaningful way, which like is really cool. And I'm totally excited to see what he brings to Borderlands for sure. I got to hear a piece of news about Stan Lee.
Okay.
This is on comingsoon.net. Earlier this year, it was revealed that Marvel Studios had acquired the licensing rights to use Lee's name, likeness, voice, and signature in future Marvel Cinematic Universe projects through a 20-year deal with Stan Lee Universe. Aside from the potential appearances in movies and TV projects, the deal also allows Marvel to feature the late comic book artist in Disney theme parks, experiences, and merchandising. The studio can also access images, existing videos, and audio recordings featuring Lee. So I think there's a documentary. Basically, the story is that there's a Disney Plus documentary about Stan Lee coming in 2023.
Okay.
So that'll be interesting. Hopefully
it's
good.
So for the gift shop at Disneyland for the Stan Lee experience, are they going to sell the green sweater, yellow shirt, and khakis?
I hope so.
The signature look?
I hope so. Would you be opposed to seeing a Stan Lee look-alike, like walking around Disneyland? Would you be opposed to that?
I don't mind it as far as like if you put him as a cameo in other MCU movies. I don't mind it as far as like documentaries go, but I feel like it's like the man is dead. Like he was a real human being. He's not a character.
Gotcha.
You know, like let's not do that, please. But if it has to be somebody, let it be me.
Exactly.
Or at least somebody that can like do it with some certain, give the character a certain amount of dignity.
Right. Yeah, I hope they don't do anything like that. But, you know, they want to sell some Stan Lee t-shirts in the gift shop. Sure.
I have no problem. If there's a t-shirt that has a picture of Stan Lee on it and says Excelsior across it, great. I have no problem.
Yeah.
You want to sell some Stan Lee merch? Mm-hmm. No one's going to stop you. Please, go ahead.
Yep.
But, like, don't have a character walking around being like, I'm Stan Lee.
I don't want to see that.
It would cheapen his memory.
Yeah, I think so too. What else we got here? Oh, so Carnival Row, speaking of TV shows on Amazon that I like.
Oh, you like Carnival Row, huh?
I do, yeah. I watch the
You're the only person I know that watches it.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know a single other person that watched that that
watches
that show.
I don't think
a lot
of people know it exists, but there's only that one first season, but they're doing a second season, which will be its final season. The first season's really good, man. I want to say Guillermo del Toro's involved somehow, because it does definitely feels like that vibe. Let me see. No, I guess he's not involved, but it definitely feels like it's Guillermo del Toro in origin.
Okay.
But it was created by Travis Beecham and a bunch of other people. But yeah, it's really good. Have you watched any of it at all?
No.
Yeah, it's good, man. It's like Gangs in New York, but if fairy tale characters were real. And so like the different like classes of people, like it's the race relations between, you know, fairy tale creatures and if they existed in like a world that's similar to like 19th century London or whatever.
Okay.
So it's good. Like there's like there's fairies and there's centaur people, not centaurs. Other people with goat legs.
Oh, satyrs.
Satyrs. There's satyrs. There's fairies. There's other things of that nature. And like there's like, and Orlando Bloom is a human who is a he's like a detective or something.
Okay.
And he's like investigating crimes and whatnot. And it's like a fantasy noir series. It's really good.
Okay. All right. I'll check it out.
Yeah, the first season's good. They're doing a second season. I think you'd enjoy it. It's good stuff.
All right.
And the visual effects are pretty good for a like a TV show.
See, that's the thing that hinges on it, right? If you're going to have something like that, the effects really need to work.
Yeah, a lot of it's very practical too, which I appreciate. They put a lot of money in the show too because it's period and they're all dressed in period costumes and stuff, and it looks pretty good.
Nice.
All right, let's see what else we got here.
Aaron Taylor Johnson is saying that he met with, where'd it go? He met with the producers of James Bond.
Yeah, that's cool. That's interesting.
He's got a good look.
Yeah, he's handsome as all get out. I don't think that'd be a bad choice. That's young for Bond. If that's the direction they're going in, that kind of like lets us know they're going for younger Bond.
True, but by the time he actually gets on screen as Bond, it'll be a couple of years.
That's true.
You know what I mean? So yeah. And the way that they produce the movies, they produce them every couple of years. So it's not like the Marvel franchise where it's like boom, 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 boom. So he'll be young forever in them. Right. Like the Bond actors tend to age up pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, I don't know if the article you said specifically says that he's meeting to play James Bond. He could be meeting to play a villain.
Play a villain, yeah.
which would be great, too. Yeah, no, that's awesome. I'm glad to hear that they're continuing to do Bond. I think Bond needs some kind of reset, like some kind of refresher, because I like as much as I love Daniel Craig in the role, I kind of grew exhausted of those movies. And so I need a break.
They took so long for them to make them. Like Daniel Craig has been, as far as timeline-wise goes, he has been James Bond longer than any other actor has played James Bond, just because it's taken them forever to make the movies.
Mm-hmm.
With Aaron Taylor Johnson, I feel like, yeah, they could breathe some new life into it, but I also say, you know what, because the modern age of the spy is dying. You know, the boots on the ground, like, I'll go take this hard drive out of this place. Like, we don't really have a whole lot of that because of technological warfare. So I say, take it back to the 60s.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Take it back to the
60s. Yeah.
The late 50s, early 60s, and then just have James Bond being like a period piece for a while.
I'm super into that. I think that's a great idea.
Because then you could get into like Nazis that have been like hidden and really, and then have them be like, they're making monkey men, and really get into like the fun part of where like the science fiction part of it, James Bond, kind of comes through.
Yeah, I'd be into that. I'd be even into a period piece that's a little later. Like if they wanted to do like the, like I think it, we've never, like I've never seen because I wasn't alive for it and I haven't gone back to watch them. But like, and it would, it's different when something's a period piece versus when it just takes place in that era. Mm-hmm. But I would love to see like a late 70s, like 80s Bond. I think that would, like, made now, I think that would be interesting. Like, looking back on that era, I think that could be cool.
When arguably some of the worst Bond movies were made.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like Bond needs to redeem that era, you know?
I forget which one it is. Yeah, I forget which one it is, but in one of the Timothy Dalton ones, he helps the Mujahideen get freedom from the Russians, and so he basically helps the Taliban.
Yeah.
So it's okay. Sylvester Stallone did the same thing in Rambo 3.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was like a popular thing to do in the 80s. We didn't know what we were doing.
We were fighting so many proxy wars through the Cold War and trying to get these disenfranchised people freedom, freedom.
Yeah. We definitely were doing a lot of that. Like, basically, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, but that. Technically, no, that's not true.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend until that enemy also uses the training that I've given them to blow up some buildings that we definitely didn't want blown up.
Yeah. See the thing with those other banks is that those other banks are banks.
Banks are banks.
I have an interesting piece of news about Nicolas Cage, which I think is so great.
Okay, please.
Nicolas Cage explains why he won't appear in Star Wars.
I saw this, and I love it. First of all, what idiot is asking Nicolas Cage if he wants to be in Star Wars?
Some dumb reporter.
Someone who has no fucking clue what they're doing, and they have no idea. It's like, have you asked questions before? Like, he's clearly not that kind of actor.
Yeah. His response is great, though. So the writer says, Pedro Pascal said before that he was trying to recruit Nicolas Cage into the world of Star Wars, presumably to do a run in
Mandalorian.
Which if Nicolas Cage is going to be in a Star Wars type thing, I think that's probably
it's not a bad one to be in.
You know what I mean? Like, I would love Nicolas Cage to do maybe even a three-episode arc as like a villain or like a cameo as like a... You know what I mean? Like, I would have loved to see him in the Timothy Oliphant role. That would have been great.
He would have been wild in that role.
Just like a space gunslinging Nicolas Cage. That'd be great.
Well, now I just want to see that movie, and I'm pretty sure he can make it.
So Pedro Pascal was trying to recruit Nicolas Cage, which makes sense. They did that movie together, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
Which was a great movie.
Yeah, it was great. And Nicolas Cage says... In true Nicolas Cage form, this is the best answer he could have given. He said, "No is the answer, and I'm not really down. I'm a Trekkie, man. I'm on the Star Trek. I'm on the Enterprise. That's where I roll." Which, now that he says that, a Nicolas Cage Star Trek movie would be amazing.
Oh, captain?
Yeah. Either a captain or, like, I would love to see him just be, like... Like, just have a role in one of these, like, newer Star Trek movies. I think that would be amazing. Like, I think that's the... Because I think if they're going to do another Star Trek movie, which they're probably going to do, I would love for it to lean into... I think what made that first J.J. Abrams one really cool was, like, it was a really good balance of, like, yes, we're going to give... It's Star Trek, and by nature, it's less... self-serious than like Star Wars or some of these other properties, so we're going to give you some of that camp and humor and stuff like that, but it was also like, yeah, you're gonna care about these characters and you're gonna want to see them persevere and we're gonna have real relationships,
but then also we're gonna make the action sequences totally great too.
Yes, exactly.
So it's like, so you still get that rock and roll that you want.
Dude, I would totally watch a J.J. Abrams Star Trek-esque movie with Nicolas Cage in it. I think that would be great.
Shut up and take my money.
I think he'd be great. Like, just like, you can basically just do like just do a lot of the similar beats of like Galaxy Quest, basically, where he's like an old washed up captain who has to like come back and like, you know what I mean? I would love to see that.
And lead this like kind of lackluster crew, like on this kind of shitty mission that like doesn't really need to be done, but they're like, toss it to Captain whatever, and he's just like, oh, okay.
Yep.
Like, he doesn't even really want to be there.
Like, imagine Nicolas Cage, you know, for the first time in the movie after he's, like, you know, regretfully accepted the mission. he finally gets a haircut and shaves, and he comes out wearing the captain's
the suit,
uniform.
Wearing like, the suit, was, yep.
Like grazing his fingers on the chair because he hasn't been there in a while. Like, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it.
Oh, it'd be great.
Yeah, I think, yeah, Nicolas Cage is one of few actors that I think has that kind of gravitas, and I think that would be great to have him do that. That'd be really fun.
I agree.
Okay, what else we got here? You got another one?
Yeah. So Avatar 3 is going to explore a new Na'vi tribe known as the Ash People.
Mm-hmm.
So we called that one.
We're getting Avatar Fire Island. The Way of Fire.
Will it be as sexy as The Way of Water? Only time will tell.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's cool. I mean, I want to see that. It's basically James Cameron conquering another visual effects challenge. How do we create these, you know, big bustling fire environments now? Cool. Right on.
Yep.
More power to you.
I don't think people are going to see. Yep. I don't know how sustainable the Avatar thing is. Like, I know Avatar 2 got like over $1 billion at the box office, but like, that's because we haven't seen it in 13 years and he's been bragging about this technology. I don't know if there's enough there to really make people want to see 5 of these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then maybe that's just me because I don't want to see 5 of these things.
I totally get what you're saying. Like, while I enjoyed Avatar 2 and I'm glad James Cameron made it, like, I by no means need to see another one. And so
that's
like,
kind of how I felt too. Like, it, yeah. Granted, I was bored when I watched it, but like, I was there for the technology more than anything else, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, now that we see what we can do technological wise, I don't know if I need to see another story that takes place on Pandora.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
It's kind of eh.
Yeah, if they would have to, like, in order to get me interested, like I would need them to do something drastically different with like the plot. But we'll see.
Maybe maybe the Na'vi invade Earth.
That'd be interesting.
There you go. Switch it.
Yeah, I could totally see something like that happening. All right.
Speaking of Nicolas Cage, I didn't see this on my feed. He has a new movie out called The Old Way. It's a Western.
Okay. How's it look?
Looks good. Looks Nicolas Cagey.
Nice.
Looks him being a gunslinger, not in space. So that's disappointing.
Ridley Scott's doing a Gladiator sequel.
Why?
Because money, I guess, probably.
Why? Ridley, just retire.
Yeah, I think whatever studio is behind it wants to make money. So I think that's why they're doing it. No one's asking for this, but
we're getting it all the same.
We're getting it all the same. Okay, leading Gladiator 2 will be actor Paul Mescal, the 26-year-old Irish actor, best known for his roles in After Sun and Normal People, the latter of which earned him an Emmy nomination. Rather than taking place before the first film and keeping Maximus in the spotlight, Mescal will be playing Lucius, the son of Connie Nielsen's Lucia. Ridley Scott will be again directing, which doesn't have Gladiator 2, which doesn't have a title just yet. It's expected to be the director's next project, as he just finished up Napoleon, starring Joaquin Phoenix, who also starred in the original Gladiator. They're doing it. The movie was written by David Scarpa. Ridley Scott's producing. Okay, so it's taking place after the original, and it's going to star the son of the Connie Nielsen character in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That almost kind of gives me a little bit more hope for the movie. I kind of like that it's not really like they're not doing like this is the Maximus like prequel, because what like Maximus's life story doesn't really become interesting until he becomes a gladiator. Like, he's just kind of a guy before
disagree. He's the general of an army.
I mean,
started out as a farmer and then became the general of an army in Germany. I'm sorry. That's a fascinating story to me.
Maybe. I mean, But how many?
But I get what you're saying. For the purposes of the movie, we don't really get interested in his character until his wife and child die, and then he goes to become, you know, like, I totally understand where you're coming from with that.
Yeah, I was just speaking, like, dramatically speaking, in terms of that specific character.
Of course,
like,
of course.
So I'm kind of glad.
I just also happened to be obsessed with Gladiator when it came out when I was a kid. So, like, talking to a pro here.
I love the first Gladiator movie. I think it's great.
Dude, it still gets great when that opening scene, when that big German dude comes out and then throws the head off the hill and screams in German at the Romans. And you're just like, oh, it's on. Let's do this.
Yeah. Because the thing that excites me about this one, or at least is like a relief about this one, is if it's a new character that like doesn't have to become Maximus, or you know, isn't that you can kind of just tell a good story and not have to make it Gladiator, you know what I mean?
And just basically be like, I was, you know, he's the model that I model my life after, is this man that saved my family, you know? And it's like, okay, cool. I agree with you. I think that would be better. And plus, we haven't seen a really good like Roman swords and sandals movie in a long time.
No, we have not.
Like, I want to see more immersive stuff. Like, let's see more Roman battles. Like, let's get immersed in more of that.
Yeah, I think, and if this is, I don't know what the timeline is of, like, the original, of, like, the Gladiator universe and, like, the actual Roman Empire. But, like, I think there's some fertile ground for storytelling dealing with, like, sort of the decline of the Roman Empire.
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
Sort of life changing as, like, you know, the Roman Empire is like falling, you know, because, you know, obviously the Roman Empire was such a global force for so long. And when it started to decline, I'm sure there's a lot of like really fertile ground for storytelling there. So that would be really interesting to see, like, you know, the empire that was in control for so long, kind of, like, finally losing its grip. I think that would be cool.
And I don't know exactly when. I know that when Commodus was the emperor, it wasn't during the decline, but it was getting close to.
Cool, yeah. Because I think that'd be interesting. That'd be interesting to see. Because that, to me, that's one of the most interesting aspects of... this is going to seem like a crazy tangent. But one of the more interesting aspects of Assassin's Creed Valhalla is, like, showing how, like, the different remnants of, like, the former kingdoms and stuff, and how all that stuff gets co-opted.
Yeah, co-opted like from the Romans.
Yeah, like with their religious practices and like all that kind of stuff. Like, I think that, like, how history evolves, but the stuff that continues on and is co-opted, that's really, really interesting to me. So, like,
yeah,
but
as Rome moved out, the Britons and stuff and all those split into all those like mini kingdoms, and that's where we get the legend of King Arthur is like the one that will come and unite everybody and blah 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 blah. But it's like, it's also interesting just to, like, I was replaying Valhalla again recently as well. And it just struck me, it's interesting how there's still this, there's still like the buildings are there, but like as Rome pulled out, like it would have been that the support that Rome brought would have completely disintegrated. And so then that plunges everybody into the Dark Ages. Plus you have, you know, stuff that's kind of like the only people that can read are the church and the rich people, you know? So it's like you have these poor uneducated masses kind of going, well, what's all this about?
Right. Yeah, dude, I'm that part of history is really interesting to me. So, hopefully this movie touches on that. And even if it doesn't, I just hope it's good.
yeah.
I just hope it's good. Let's see.
Well, we haven't talked, going back to Nicolas Cage again, we haven't talked about Renfield.
That's true. Do you have any other news before we get into trailers? Because trailers can kind of be its own
thing.
Oh,
you want to do trailers separately? Oh. Yeah. Let me see.
I'm basically out of news things.
Our boy Brendan Fraser said he would be down to make another Mummy film.
Of course. I also would like $20 million.
Yes, but with Brendan Fraser, I give a little bit of leeway because it's different. Because I feel like he's paid his dues. It's not like,
100%.
What's his frickin' face? The guy that played Iron Fist that's like, I want to take another stab at the character. It's like, you did. You sucked.
Yep.
We moved on. Sorry. I get that you want $1 million and you want to be back in the MCU because you want those accolades, but bro, you blew it so bad.
Totally. I would love to see Brendan Fraser come back and get a chance to do The Mummy again, especially because he's having a bit of a renaissance with his career right now. I think it'd be a good move. It could be his John Wick, if we want to draw the comparison to
Keanu Reeves. Be fun.
I would love for Brendan Fraser to come back. I think he has proven that he still very much loves making movies and is still as just as talented as he's always been. So I would love to see him come back. Hopefully he wins the Oscar for The Whale. That'd be really nice to see.
That would be really good. I still need to see The Whale.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but I need to watch that as well. The movie I saw a trailer for last night. It's a Cronenberg movie. This David Cronenberg's son.
Yeah, Brian.
Brandon.
Sorry.
Yeah. I'm going to look this up right now because I need you to watch this trailer. Let me see. Brandon Cronenberg movie. Come on. Internet's moving slow. Brandon Cronenberg. Let me turn off my Xbox. It probably has something to do with it. Turn off console. Turn it.
Did he direct it?
He did, yeah.
Hmm. Brandon. Oh, upcoming. Here we go. Infinity Pool.
All right, I'm going to play this trailer, and I'm going to screen share it with you so we can get your real-time reaction. Action.
It's got a Skarsgård in it.
Yep.
It's got Mia Goth in it. Great.
I think it's Alexander Skarsgård, isn't it?
It is Alexander Skarsgård. And I also would like to point out the angular one.
Yeah, the angular one.
I would also like to point out that his IMDb.
Handsome one.
Yeah, yes. The most handsome of all the ones.
Yeah.
His IMDb photo is him with a tuxedo top without pants.
Very interesting choice.
I know. I'm like, what's going on there?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if you're the hot one, you're the hot one. I think it's because he spent so much time on True Blood. I think a lot of people consider him like a sex symbol.
Yeah.
I've never watched True Blood, so like I don't know him from that. So like,
oh yeah, I've seen. I started watching True Blood. I got a couple of seasons in, and then just quit because it got ridiculous.
Yeah.
But he's good. Everybody in that show's really good.
Yeah. No. He. You know, he's great. I obviously have seen him in other stuff, and he's great. Okay. Let me know if you can hear this audio. Oh.
No.
Probably cannot yet. Because I need to do this. Sorry, give me one second. This looks really good, though. I saw the trailer. Like, it was one of those trailers that played... if you let your... I don't know if you have Hulu commercials. Like, you have commercials on your...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it was, like, played during, like, a commercial break. And I was like, huh, this looks crazy.
Okay. Anything the Cronenbergs do, I'm down.
Yeah, I'm super into it. How do I get back to Zoom? View, show, chat. No, show. How do I make the... Sorry. I collapsed the Zoom, and I'm trying to make it big again. Let's see. Okay, maybe I just need to do that.
This piece of audio brought to you by Confusion. Do you suffer from it?
Okay. Can you see the screen share?
I can see the screen share. It's on full screen on my deal.
Can you hear that?
Try it. No.
Okay. Okay, let me see. Why is it not sharing the audio? Oh, there it is. Share sound. Okay, share. Okay.
Oh. Yep, there we go. Okay. Yep.
So it's beautifully shot with some haunting music. Looks like we're in Greece or something. They're having a weird, sketchy dinner. Everyone's being weirdly polite.
It's a Cronenberg movie. Everything's sketchy.
Yeah. His car... Okay, his car stopped working and he hit someone.
All right.
The punishment for any crime committed is death here. He's like, what the fuck?
Jeez.
But for a...
Yeah. Oh!
So if you have enough money, they will make a clone of you and will be executed
on your behalf. Execute the clone. What a concept.
Huh. Mia Goth is not to be trusted.
She's what?
Not to be trusted.
No, she's not. She's great, though. Have you seen X or Pearl?
No, I have not yet.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, so then there's a bunch of weird Eyes Wide Shut type stuff going on. There's like some weird like cult happening. It looks insane. Yeah, mind games are being played. Yeah, it looks good. Brandon Cronenberg is doing his thing. Cool. You into that?
I am. I'm down. The concept of having an island where any crime is punishable by death, but you can have a clone stand in for you, that is a fascinating just story to tell and like a concept to just play around with. And yeah. I feel like...
And it's probably to appease some kind of like ritual where they have to sacrifice human life, because it seems like there's some cult shit happening.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. So... Yeah, I'm super into that. Have you seen the Beau is Afraid trailer?
I have not.
Okay, so we don't necessarily need to watch this, but you should watch the trailer. I will. Beau is Afraid is a movie by Ari Aster, who did Hereditary and Midsommar. Yeah, it's...
so good.
Yeah, so good. Both those movies, great. This movie...
Anything, I will say, Ari Aster is one of those guys, anything he makes, I will watch.
100%. This movie is... less of a straightforward horror movie. I wouldn't even call it a horror movie. It's more of like a fantasy movie. Mm-hmm. But it's basically, it features four versions of Joaquin Phoenix playing the same role of him as like at different stages.
A godlike emperor that has different versions of himself that runs a.
Yeah. It's kind of like it's like space Downton Abbey.
it's going around.
Yeah, it's going around. It's a popular thing to do right now. A24 has dropped the official Beau is Afraid trailer. Joaquin Phoenix portrays Beau, a man who suddenly finds himself on a surreal adventure while trying to make his way home to his mother. It also gives us a preview at the different weird and nightmare-like scenarios he'll go through as he's forced to face his darkest fears. Basically, he was, I watched the trailer, and based on the trailer, he was basically, he has an abusive relationship. His mother was abusive to him, and, and because of that, he's irrationally afraid of a lot of things. Okay. And the way that plays out in his mind is very surreal. And like, there's a lot of like hand painted animated things going on. And like, it's very, very, very surreal. Like,
okay.
It looks really good though.
So take an edible and watch it?
Basically. Cause there are some horror elements for sure. And it looks great. Like, it looks really good. Like, Joaquin Phoenix is one of my favorite actors working right now, and especially when he does stuff like this. So I would say, yeah, definitely watch that. Yeah, it looks good. You like Joaquin Phoenix? You into this?
He's growing on me again.
Yeah. Did you ever see...
All of his stuff that he does is a hit with me,
say. Totally. Did you ever see... I think it's called You Were Never Really Here.
No, I haven't seen that one. That's the one where he plays the Desert Storm vet with PTSD that like rescues children.
Yeah, and kills all those people with a
hammer. Kills all those people with a hammer. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
You should watch that. It's
maybe I'll watch it today. My dance card is completely open for what I was going to watch today, so I'll add that to my list.
There you go.
You Were Never Really Here. Sounds good.
Yeah, he's great in it. It's a good. It's Shades of Man on Fire.
Which is one of my favorite action movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if you like Man on Fire, you'll love
Man on Fire. Anytime there's a wounded older guy that's just like, fuck this shit. I'm like, yeah, let's do it.
You know what? Fuck this shit.
You know what? Yeah. I'm going to murder some people. Yes. They took away the person that taught me how to live, so I'm going to murder everyone. It's like, yeah, let's do it, baby.
Here is a movie that's almost certainly bad. This movie is called Exceptional Beings.
Mm-hmm.
It's an upcoming psychological action fantasy thriller.
To be released digitally, DVD, and through video demand. So it's not even making it to the theaters.
No. Two immortal gods, Athena and Hermes. Bad start already. Who lived on Earth for over 4,000 years. Find out that
they're not older than that?
No, just 4,000 years.
Then the Earth is only 4,000 years old? Okay, cool.
They're immortal, but they've only been around 4,000 years.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I just burned my tongue. they find out that there is much more to the planet than they have always believed. When then come into contact with Mina, a woman who makes them question their own reality. Reads the film synopsis.
Woman makes two gods question their own reality, but they are also, weirdly enough, because they are gods, they are the masters of reality.
Yeah, they track her existence.
Like this premise would have worked better if it hadn't been Athena and Hermes, if it had just been two immortal, like,
humanoids. Yeah, why does
humanoids?
It have to be them? They track her existence from her birth to the present across multiple cities and countries, trying to understand her existence. If she is human or much... Wait, what does that say? If
or
she
much is human for. Or That's much a typo.
Yeah, it's probably much more. Their search to understand Mina ends up becoming a journey for them to better understand themselves and their godhood. It's probably going to play out like a some kind of YA novel-esque type vibe, if I had to imagine.
Probably.
Or we'll be surprised and it looks really good. Four 4,000 years ago, the Big Bang.
Yeah.
They're giving us a history of the gods right now.
Instead of showing us what the movie's about.
Right. Oh.
I already don't like this.
It insists upon itself.
It's the strings. It's trying to be like classy and like whimsical. And I'm like, no.
Yeah. It's so artsy, Derek. Oh, man.
Wow, that...
Oh, no. Oh, no. This looks like...
this is really bad.
Yeah.
The cinematography looks terrible, too. It looks like a student film.
It does.
Not that student films are bad, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, this... Yeah. All right, that's enough of that.
Yep. I think we're good.
I saw fake dreadlocks. We're done with this.
Yep.
Yeah, that looks very cheap and probably very bad, unfortunately. I would like all movies to be good, but
our thing. We want every movie to be good, but the more than likely they are not.
Yep. Okay. This is the next trailer I wanted to show you. Evil Dead Rise. Let me go to the Red Band trailer, because I don't think that this is the Red Band trailer. Evil Dead, what's your background with Evil Dead?
Oh, classic horror franchise. I've loved it since I was a kid. Big fan. Bruce Campbell can do no wrong. He is amazing. You know, that whole group that made that movie is just really fun. Mm-hmm. It's a really fun franchise to just be a part of. I'm not super familiar with the TV show. I've seen a couple episodes, but I'm not super familiar with it. But other than that, I love the Evil Dead franchise a lot.
Yep. I've seen the first movie. I have not seen the sequels. I love Bruce Campbell. I love Sam Raimi. So I am, I don't think Sam Raimi made this, but I love this IP. I'm super looking forward to this, honestly. Let's see the Red Band trailer. All right, you can see this, yeah?
Oh, yeah, I'm good.
Okay, good. This looks nuts, dude. It's a crazy woman throwing eggs into a pan.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So the villain of the movie is not a twist. It's in the trailer.
Can you turn the volume down? I can't quite hear you over the volume
okay,
of
yeah.
the. There, that's perfect. What were you saying?
Yeah. The villain of the movie is no twist. It's very apparent.
No.
The main character's sister, who has children, is possessed by some kind of demon. And we're watching this all play out. Yeah, this looks nuts, dude.
Oh! Nope.
Yeah, if your mom ever looks at you like this, covered in blood, you just don't open the door. Don't open the door.
Yeah, don't open the door. You call the cops immediately.
Yeah.
A tattoo gun in the eye? No!
A cheese grater to the leg?
No! Ah!
Yeah, dude. Is
oh, ooh, man. What is happening?
This is it looks so good, dude.
Dude, like, this movie looks nuts.
And like any
jeez.
Mommy's with the maggots now is a great line.
Yeah. Woo! I got goosebumps. Like, I am, like, ready to watch that movie.
Yeah, it comes out in April, so not too far. Yeah, dude, that looks great. And the thing that makes me excited, the most excited about this movie, besides the obvious of all the violence and whatnot, I love that, like, with any good horror movie, and specifically any good Evil Dead movie and any good Sam Raimi movie, yes, it's a horror movie. Yes, you're going to get people getting scalped and tattoo guns to the eye and things like that. But it's also about something. And, right. Like, this is clearly, like, a meditation on motherhood and sisterhood and raising children and all that kind of stuff. So, like, I'm interested to see how it plays out. That looks really good.
The best horror movies that exist are the ones that aren't about the horror.
Right. Exactly.
It has something to say about the way that this person is processing trauma or, like, just life. And I'm like, and then they just couch it in a horror movie context. I'm like, those are usually my favorite horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've already seen the Ant-Man and the Wasp. I've seen both of these. Yeah.
Cool. So the next two trailers. So the first one we have is Renfield. That trailer dropped. That looks fantastic. Basically, it's a story of Nicholas Holt. His character what's his name? Is he Renfield in this?
Yeah, he's Renfield.
Okay, so he basically is Dracula's familiar, right? Is that?
Yes,
is that
the, so it's the term is familiar. It's essentially an assistant.
Yeah.
But yes, he's the one in charge of procuring victims and disposing of bodies and all of that unsavory stuff.
Yeah, and he's been given the gift or curse of immortality to serve Dracula forever. And it basically is, the way the trailer makes it seem, it's going to be a breakup movie, basically. Mm-hmm. It's a movie about Renfield getting tired of the one-sided relationship and wanting to see other people, basically.
Yeah, basically, yeah. It's going to be great. I can't wait for that, for the moment where he actually breaks up with Dracula.
Yeah, in the trailer, just to give, if you haven't seen the trailer, just to give people an idea of like the level of comedy that's going on here. Like, Dracula literally goes to like a group therapy session. Like,
yo, Renfield busts into the group therapy session, and then the trailer is showing all the stuff they have to do. Couch, they're like, well, it seems like this is the guy leading the group being like, well, it seems like this is a really one sided relationship.
Yeah.
And yeah, then so Dracula, like, shows up.
Yeah. So, like, it's going to be really good.
My favorite part of the entire trailer was when Dracula shows up and the guy just goes, oh, come in. And Renfield's like, no, because you have to invite vampires in.
Yeah. Yeah. This looks great, man. Ben Schwartz is in it. Aquafina's in it. Yeah, it looks great, dude. Like, it looks like exactly what you want it to be. It's directed and produced by Chris McKay, who directed The Tomorrow War. And it's based on a pitch from Robert Kirkman, apparently. and it was written by Ryan Ridley, who is a writer for Rick and Morty. Yeah, this looks great. It looks like it's going to be funny. It looks like it's going to have some good action beats to it. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, it's going to – I think first and foremost, I think I'm going to be surprised with actually how funny it is more than anything
100%.
Else.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I mean, there's some comedy, you know, really great comedy
beats.
This. Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to this. This looks really good.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
That one's on my list of like movies I've been watching and waiting for a while.
100%. Yeah, I can't wait for that to come out. Okay, last trailer I have is, of course, for Marvel's Ant-Man Quantumania, which dropped its, I would assume, is like its final trailer. This is the one that basically has all the story elements to
the MODOK reveal.
Yeah, it has a MODOK reveal. It has the story elements. From what I could tell from the trailer, plot-wise, Ant-Man and Kang... Ant-Man and his family get stuck in the Quantum Realm where they run into Kang. And Kang basically approaches Ant-Man and is like, hey, I want to make a deal with you. I can give you... You know, you missed a lot of time with your daughter. I can give you more time, whatever. I have the power to do that. You have to do something for me. We don't know what that something is, obviously. But they agree, and there's some kind of deal, and then the deal goes south, because of course it does. And that's where we find ourselves, and then they punch each other for a while, and there's some visual effects. There's some really, really interesting stuff going on in terms of, like, the Ant-Man-y, like, sort of quantum level creature-y type stuff that's
yes.
going on. There's some really
the
like,
creature design is really cool.
Yeah. How are you feeling going into this movie? Impressions, expectations? Are you excited about another Ant-Man movie? What are you feeling?
I am more excited to see how they present Kang as the new big bad. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm more interested in.
Yeah.
And I think that's what this movie's basically this movie's purpose is to show how dangerous and how problematic Kang is and how he's the new Thanos.
Yeah, totally. Like one of the some of the first text that comes up on the screen is all about establishing a new dynasty. So this mm-hmm. movie is definitely its major goal is to, I mean, let's be honest, Kang is the biggest figure on the trailer that we're looking or on the poster yep. that we're looking at. Like they're really trying to set that up, which is, I mean, it's good. You need to do that. Because, you know, yes, we love these characters, but we've seen them be these characters before. So, like, you have to make it interesting by giving us a new compelling villain. So
yes, exactly.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think the trailer was a good trailer. It showed us a lot, but didn't show us a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I will say this. I was actually, because I accidentally watched it this morning. Uh-huh. And it was, well, I was getting ready, and it's because I don't normally watch like more than just the first one that comes out, you know, the first main trailer. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I'll give it a shot and see what's going on. And I was surprised with how much it says without actually saying anything.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's smart. And I think that whoever made these trailers, mm-hmm. whoever edited these trailers together, knows exactly how to do that. And I think that they should do every Marvel trailer from now on, because 100%. That's exactly how. Because I get so beaten over the head. It's like by the time the fourth trailer comes out, I'm like, I've seen the movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I feel like everything in the trailer, and I don't know this to be true, but the impression I get because of how it's edited together, a lot of what's in the trailer is in like the first 30 minutes of the movie, probably.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
And even if that's not true, even if there are shots from later in the movie, it feels that way, which I like. You know what I mean? I don't want to go into a movie feeling like I've seen it already. You know what I mean? I hate that.
That's why I stop watching trailers after the first one, because I'm just like, I can't, man.
Yeah.
Can't Man Quantumania. That's my new superhero. I'm Can't Man. Hey, can you save that kid? Absolutely not.
I will say I'm not a huge fan of Evangeline Lilly's haircut in this.
Oh, you don't like it?
It's not my favorite.
You don't like the pixie cuts?
It's not my favorite look on her, I'll say. But that's neither here nor there. That's just a nitpick. This movie looks great. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be. I think it's probably going to be a more serious Ant-Man movie than we've gotten, which is fine.
And we need it. It's time for a change.
Yeah, I'm excited to see. What's his name? Scott Lang. give us more. The actor, Paul Rudd.
Oh, Paul Rudd. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to see him give us more of his range because I know he has that range to do other gears besides just like the, you know, the funny, charming guy. Like, I want to see him play a dad and go through a wider range of emotions, and it seems like we're going to get that. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Like, I think it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to seeing I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of the world building in this, and like,
me too.
All the creatures and the different aspects of the quantum realm and all that. I feel like this movie, it's going to be pretty long. It's over 2 hours. I feel like there's going to be a lot of exploration, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah, definitely. Runtime's 2 hours and 5 minutes.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds great to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think what's interesting too about Kang is that because we know that Kang exists as a multitude, there are like multiple Kangs throughout the multiverse. Like, he could die in this movie. Like, which is refreshing because a lot of times when you know they're setting up a big bad, it's like, well, okay, they can't defeat the villain in this movie because he's going to go on. But they could kill this Kang. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they could totally kill this Kang.
They could totally kill him, yeah. So,
They could defeat him in the first 30 minutes, and then the rest of it's just a family movie with them trying with them trying to escape the quantum zone.
Yep.
Or the quantum realm. Yeah, so, or whatever we're calling it these days. The tiny, tiny space.
Yeah, the little tiny, tiny space. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be good. I think this comes out springtime, March or something, maybe?
February.
Does it come out in February? Okay,
yeah, well, February right around the corner. 12th, I want to say?
Okay, yeah, it's right around the corner. I'm looking forward to that. We should try to see it together.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it looks good. I'm super into that. Yeah, the next Marvel thing. Did Marvel put out anything this month? Is there anything coming out in January?
No.
On Disney Plus?
Oh, I'm not sure on Disney Plus.
Okay. Okay. Maybe they're taking
that. If you told me when I was a kid that I basically would be able to watch all of my favorite superheroes' adventures as movies on the big screen, I would have called you a liar.
Yeah.
And that the movies would actually be good, I would have called you a liar. Oh, February 17th.
February 17th. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's when Quantumania comes out.
Yeah, all right. We're right around the corner then. I'm super excited. I'm trying to see if we have anything, if Disney's doing anything in January. No. Nothing of note other than, like, they're putting up some, like, animated stuff on the Disney Plus thing, but nothing. Oh, like, The Bad Batch, I think, is out right now.
Bad Batch is out, yeah.
Have you watched any of that?
No, I tend to stay away from the animated Star Wars stuff.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of that stuff.
I'm such an old school kid purist that I'm, you know, for the original trilogy that I'm kind of like, I like The Mandalorian, obviously. I've watched Book of Boba Fett. I'm just not as wholly sold out because the overwhelming amount of Star Wars stuff has been bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to shy away from stuff now. You know what I mean? Like, unless you watch it or somebody I really trust watches Bad Batch and is like, you need to watch it, I'll probably just skip it.
Yeah, I agree. The animated Star Wars stuff doesn't really grip me in any way. If I hear it's good, I will watch it. But I'm not a huge animated Star Wars guy. I never watched the Clone Wars or anything like that, so I don't.
That didn't either.
Nothing really dropping in January. Everything's just kind of, they're kind of leaving it open for Ant-Man in February. So, all right, I'm into that.
Yeah, and then we have What If Season 2 coming out early 2023.
Yeah, we also have Loki's coming out this year too. I think that comes out pretty soon. March or April or something.
Secret Invasion is spring.
Okay.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is May 5th. Loki season 2 is summer 2023.
It's summer? Okay, gotcha.
Uh-huh.
Was there a teaser for that yet?
Not yet.
Okay, gotcha. Cool. Loki's this summer. That'll be great. I think Loki's going to be great. I think this season of Loki's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Especially, once Kang will be fully established in Ant-Man, and then we'll just get to see him run roughshod in Loki and set up the movie. The Kang Dynasty and all that stuff, which is happening.
Yeah,
super excited. All right, you got anything else before we get out of here?
No, I'm pretty much tapped out today.
Cool. All right. People can find you online.
Find me online.
All right, you can find me at Ahsoshn the DJ on social media. It's Ahsoshn the DJ. You can find episodes of this podcast and more at Weekly Regular. Derek, thanks so much for hosting the show with me. And we will see
y'all. My pleasure.
Next week.